Maya, Class Destroyers, Ship Brief. This is the latest version of the Japanese Aegis-class destroyer for the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Group. These are built in Japan by Marine United Corporation in Yokohama, and it is the heaviest, most capable destroyer in the Japanese fleet. It has 96 VLS for air defense missiles, including the venerable SM-3 anti-ballistic missiles. It has 8 anti-ship missiles and uses a very interesting cog lag propulsion that we're going to get into here. All right, let's take a look at the weapons and countermeasures of the Maya class. We're going to start on the bow with that big 5-inch gun. That's the Mark 45 Mod 4, 127mm naval gun. Right behind that is a 64-cell Mark 41 VLS that shoots the SM-3 and SM-6 and an ASROC anti-submarine Mark 46 torpedo is vertically launched from the VLS. Behind that is the close-in weapon system Mark 15 Block 14 Bravo Phalanx, commonly called SeaWiz. Behind that, you can see the superstructure and sensors. We'll get into that in just a minute. Let's continue aft as we talk more about the weapons on this. Here we have, between the two stacks, the Type 90, Type 17 anti-ship missile launchers, the Mark 137 decoy launchers, chafe flare, things like that, and then a second 32-cell Mark 41 VLS. So the VLS are broken up into a forward battery and an aft battery. And then over the helicopter hangar, we have the Mark 15, a second Phalanx SeaWiz. A lot of firepower packed into a very tight ship. Now sensors. The SQS-53 Charlie hull-mounted sonar is the Navy standard and has been for years for our surface fleet. Very powerful sonar. This thing can transmit immense amounts of noise into the water for very long-range active and passive detection. Behind that, on the superstructure where the bridge is at, we have all the radars and sensors. So going from the very top, we have the electronic warfare system called NOLQ. Below that is the SPQ-9 Bravo radar. And just below that, the radar dish looking thing, the TV antenna, if you will, is the SPG-62 fire control radar. And below that is the SPY-1 Delta radar. That is the magnificent phased array radar that controls the SM-3, SM-6 missiles. Aft of the stacks and just forward of the helicopter hangar, you can see a second fire control radar. This is another SPG-6, and those are used for controlling the guns on board. So they have those radars forward and aft because they have guns forward and aft. And then finally, off the fantail is the multifunction towed array sonar, the TB-37, which is a towed array sonar system. They've only built two of these because they're very good and very expensive, and for Japan, two is enough. Like I said, this is just the latest edition of Aegis destroyers. They have earlier editions as well, like the Congo class, for example. But this Maya class is the latest rendition using the most recent technology, like the SPY-1 Deltas, and the ability to shoot down anti-ship ballistic missiles. So JS Maya and JS Haruguyo are the two Maya class destroyers. This is the Maya class by the numbers here. Again, we have the cog lag. That's combined gas turbine electric and gas turbine propulsion. So they combine a turbine electric propulsion with a gas turbine propulsion, which makes the Maya class very unique. There's not too many other ships that have this type of combined turbine electric and turbine propulsion. It's usually one or the other. So they have two shafts. Those are controllable pitch propellers, which means they can vary their speed based on the propeller pitch, not just RPM. Max speed of 32 knots can do max endurance of 6,000 nautical miles if they limit themselves to 15 knots. They have two quad launchers of anti-ship cruise missiles. They have a 96-cell Mark 41 VLS split into two different banks, batteries, like we said. Mark 45 Mod 4 naval gun, which is that 5-inch gun on the bow, and the 2x3 torpedo tubes that shoot the Mark 46 or the Japanese variant Type 1297 lightweight torpedo. They have two close-in weapon systems of the Phalanx variety, 20mm, and they have the Japanese version of the SH-60. It's called the SH-60J helicopter off the fantail. The radars are four SPY-1D panels. Those are phased ASA radars, or PASA. They have three SPG-6 illumination radars for the guns, one for each. SPQ-9 Bravo surface search radar, used mostly for navigation, but can be used for tracking surface targets. The Mark 20 electro-optical system, used for visually identifying and visually tracking targets, which can be done completely passively, just by the shape and heat signature and the contrast of the target itself to the background can track. Very good system. Two satellite communication antennas. It does have a cooperative engagement compatibility data link. Pretty much Aegis, but they call it this. It's a combat system, let's put it that way. A combat system that can communicate with other combat systems sharing targets off-haul, like the helicopter and things like that. They have the NOLQ electronic warfare system for detecting other radars and things of that variety. And then the very powerful SQS-53 Charlie hull-mounted sonar on the bow there, with the SQS-20 towed array trailing behind it. Here is the LM2500 gas turbine. This is the turbine that provides the propulsion, part of it anyway. This is a derivative of the General TF-39 commercial CF-6 high bypass turbofan. We see this in almost every lecture now. It's used in most Western and American allied ships. It can reach turbine speeds of 3,600 RPM and produces just over 25,000 kilowatts of power. What is unique is they've paired that turbine with one of these, the KHIM-7A-05 gas turbine made by Kawasaki Heavy Industries. So this gas turbine turns an electric motor directly. It's directly linked to an electric motor that can then assist in propulsion and other electrical loads. And so they've combined a gas turbine, the LM2500, with this. So there's both direct propulsion coming from one turbine, and then the second turbine turns an electric motor that can then turn the shaft as well, which is a very interesting design. It's a dual ignition system, creates about 8,000 horsepower, and this was unveiled in 2011. All right, the SPY-1D radar. This is made by Lockheed Martin, is used on all the American Aegis-class destroyers, and is also used on the Maya-class here as well. It is a passive electronically scanned array radar, or PASA, installed around a forward superstructure. It does have four panels looking at four different quadrants, offset by 45 degrees each. Operates in the S-band, which is 2 to 4 gigahertz, and has a range of about 165 kilometers. That's about almost 90 miles. Can easily track up to 100 targets at a time and then shoot them down. And SM-2, and shoots the ESM-compatible missiles. The SPG-6 illumination radar, this is made by Raytheon, and is another component of the Aegis system, but this is used to guide SM-2s and ESM Block 1 semi-active RF. Operates in the X-band radar, operates in the 8 to 12 gigahertz, has an output of 10 kilowatts, and is directed by the SPY-1D. So SPY-1D is detecting and tracking. These guys are providing the X-band fire control signal for all the weapons. Here's the SPQ-9 Bravo radar. This is a 3D fire control radar. This is mounted above the bridge forward. It's optimized for high speed and low RCS targets. Good for anti-missile detection. Operates in the X-band because it's a fire control radar with a high update rate. Can search for air and surface targets within 10 nautical miles. So this is going to be your point defense radar director here. Okay, the Mark 20 electro-optical system is built by L3 Harris. This is an infrared and optical and laser rangefinder system. It can pivot around 360 degrees and produces a laser that can reach out to 15 kilometers, which is quite a range, and give you an accurate range and bearing to the target. The optical part of this will track that target, and there's several different modes where it can be in low light, it can be in nighttime, infrared, you know, all the modern types of visual modes are available on this kit. And that's mounted atop the mast over the bridge as well. The Mark 45 Mod 4 Naval Gun. This is built by BAE Systems. Shoots 20 rounds a minute. Has a range of about 20 nautical miles. That's ballistic range. There's always 20 rounds ready to fire in the turret with additional rounds below it that can be hoisted up to it rather quickly. Very good, very reliable gun. Very big bore. 5 inches is big by American standards anymore. Also 127 millimeter. Okay, the Mark 46 lightweight torpedo. This is the old standby, very reliable, low-cost anti-submarine torpedo that the U.S. Navy licenses to Japan for use. This is manufactured by Raytheon. Has a max speed of 23 meters per second. Has a range of just over 15 kilometers. Depends on the speed that it's at, really. But it says here 11 kilometers at 15 meters depth. Yeah, it really does vary. The thing is, it's electrically powered. It's relatively fast. And whenever I get questions about why I like nuclear submarines over diesel submarines, I think of this lightweight torpedo. And, of course, other variants, whether it's Chinese, Russian, does not matter. A nuclear submarine will simply outrun this torpedo is what I'm saying. A diesel submarine, I don't care if it's diesel electric, I don't care if it was designed and built today with the latest technology, will not outrun this torpedo. A nuclear submarine will. I can't tell you why, but it will. It's not about speed either. Anyway, but this Mark 46 torpedo, old, reliable, cheap, and good against conventional submarines. New hotness is Type 97 lightweight torpedo, made by Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. This is replacing the Mark 46 torpedo. It is a more modern, 15-kilometer range, shaped warhead charged, a much better guidance system. I would equate this, if I had to make an equivalency, to the Mark 54 torpedo, which is the modern American torpedo for lightweight, you know, helicopter dropped or destroyer launch like you see here. This is the Japanese equivalent to that weapon. And that's mostly because the seeker head, the nose, is much more advanced, has a lot more capability than the Mark 46 has. All right, SM-2 Block 1A SAM, long-range air defense missile, can reach out and touch your aircraft at 130 kilometers, in excess of 30,000 kilometers as well, so almost, 100,000 feet or something. It can reach Mark 4.5. This is a very fast, rapid reaction surface-to-air missile. It will get out to your target quickly. It can be a short-range engagement as well in terms of self-defense, so it can shoot down incoming anti-ship missiles as well as it can aircraft and helicopters. Now, the SM-6 missile is a whole different animal. This is a very thick missile, but it's made to go a very long range and shoot down ballistic missiles, among other things. It even has a surface warfare mode. The warhead and size and mass of this missile so big, it can actually do significant damage to a ship, but at great cost, as these missiles are very expensive. But they can do everything from anti-ballistic missile defense to air-to-air defense or surface air defense and anti-ship defense as well. The altitude is in excess of 30 kilometers, which is in excess of 100,000 feet. Mach 3 Maxim, 115 kilogram warhead, and has a very heavy 450 kilogram launch weight, which is why it has that big booster on the back. The booster, of course, adds to the launch weight, but it provides the boost that it needs to get to those speeds and altitudes to do that BMD, the ballistic missile defense. And this thing, I'll see it in 2011. Now, the SM-3 Block 2 Alpha anti-ballistic missile, which, in my opinion, is a better missile, is on board all Aegis-equipped ships. It is used for intermediate-range ballistic missiles and intercontinental ballistic missiles during their mid-course correction, so it can really get up there. The range is 1,200 kilometers. It's a huge... The range of this missile is insane. It's very long range, and it's good to get up there into the... exo-atmosphere, which is like suborbital, and hit that kill vehicle. Can hit the kill vehicle very accurately. I've seen lots of missile test footage of this weapon, and they show the hits and the misses, but there's a lot more hits than misses, and it's extremely accurate. It's also extremely fast. You really should find video of this on the internet, just search for the SM-3 Block 2 Alpha missile test and see for yourself how incredibly fast this weapon is. Because from the start, from the launch, it just goes. Very impressive. All right, Type 17 anti-ship missile. This is developed all in-house. It's a subsonic anti-ship high explosive fragmentation missile. Uses an ASA radar, so a very advanced seeker on the nose there in the Ka band, with RF seeker, GPS, and INS guidance, which simply means, one, it always knows where it is, so it knows where it's going, and it can do waypoints and turn. So the missile or the direction you launch it in isn't necessarily in the direction of the target, and that can cause confusion as to where it's actually going to hit. It can follow waypoints, essentially. Here's the SH-60J, the Japanese version of the Seahawk helicopter. Very capable, multifunction ATSI helicopter, extremely reliable. Has 5 hours of endurance, can carry two Mark 46 torpedoes or the Type 12 torpedoes. Also depth charges and air-to-ground missiles as well, for use against small boats. It shoots the Hellfire missile. Has door-mounted 7.62mm guns and the HPS-105 search radar, as well as a dipping sonar. And if you look closely under where the pilot cabin is, that dish that sits flat against the belly of the helicopter, that's the surface search radar. That's the HPS-105. And the dipping sonar is right behind that. Looks like it's retrieved, so you can't see it. But it's up in there. Very reliable helicopter. All right, final thoughts. The Maya class, man. Great platform. Japan only has two of them. Like I said, they're very expensive to make, so they don't have a lot, but they're so capable. Two's actually enough for their purposes right now. The Koglog system, that propulsion system, is what really sets this thing apart. It is really ingenious to use a high efficiency jet electrical motor alongside a jet connected to a propulsion motor for getting the most bang for your buck in terms of performance, endurance, and speed. They can use those two different types of propulsion in conjunction with each other to go very fast or go very far, you know. And so it's really quite well. It shoots the SM-3 Block 2 Alpha missile, which is a high-performance missile. Can do anti-ballistic missile defense, whether it's intermediate range or intercontinental missiles, and it's very fast. And I would recommend putting SM-3 Block 2 Alpha into a Google search and find the videos of these missile tests, because it's very impressive. And Japan employs it. So these destroyers are obviously combined with other self-defense weapons and platforms of Japan to make it a more combined force. But there's just a lot of firepower on this platform here itself. It has, over 90 VLSs. Those can do different things, including anti-submarine warfare. Has a very powerful sonar system and a very long-range, PESA Aegis system for missile control and detection. And more importantly, communication with their allies, because these ships are designed to not just detect, track, classify contacts over 100 at a time, but also share that information with everybody else in the fleet. And that is a huge force multiplier. So that's why the United States licenses and helps, share this technology with the Japanese Navy. And we work a lot with them. And they're pretty much fully integrated and have been for many years, decades and decades now, with the U.S. Navy. Great naval allies. And there at the bottom, you can see Japan is now developing its own long-range cruise missile for use on warships. So they're bringing more and more weapon development in-house, which was outlawed for many years after World War II, but they've recently changed that law that they can now build and actually sell, export, if they will, weapon military technology in Japan. And so they're beginning to do that now, right alongside the United States. And they're a very powerful ally in that region of the world. So Japan is very vital to U.S. Navy success. And we're happy to see them get stronger and better. And the Koglog is a very cool propulsion system. I look forward to learning more about that and seeing that used more and more, especially in Japanese ships. All right. And that's been the Maya Destroyer, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.